Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Ebro in the morning with Laura Styles and Rosenberg.
Laura Styles got the 411 on the flash lights. Light,
I know you're ready for the flashlight. And Laura Styles can put us on.
All right, guys, it's time. Well, listen, I thought this was really sweet, man. Tyra, she's the entrepreneur and daughter of Jam Master Jay, has teamed up with Tiana Wallace, the daughter of the notorious B.I.G. Together, they have launched Juicy Pizza. It's named after Tiana's pops, you know, music. But what's dope is, like, they're bringing NY pizza to LA. So New York pizza to LA. So, you know, they felt like, you know, they're from New York and they missed the pizza. So they were like, you know what, we're going to fix this problem. So I just think it's really cute, especially to see the unity between these two young women and, you know, just getting their hustle on so tight. And that's your Flash and Lights report.
WQHTFM HD1 New York, 97 minutes commercial free.
Yeah.
Commercial free coming up at 7 with Ebro in the morning. Hot 97.
Rosenberg is traveling right now on assignment, but we have one of the greatest athletes of all time joining us today. The world renowned superstar, Jackie Joyner Kersee. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Well, I mean, look, I grew up watching you and FloJo and, you know what I mean? All of that. It is an honor to meet you
and
make your acquaintance today. Let's get right into it. You were crowned the greatest female athlete of the 20th century. And there's so many amazing athletes out here now. Do you still consider yourself the greatest athlete of all time?
You know, I do, you know.
As you should. As you should.
You know, it's like you work so hard and, you know, for me, I didn't work for accolades. I just put in the work and, but yeah, if I don't consider myself the best, then how do I expect others to do that? And so...
When you found your talent in track and field, your brother Al Joyner, he's older, and he was a triple jumper, correct?
Correct.
So did that help you find your path?
You know what? In all honesty, I was the one who encouraged my brother. You know, because wow. I started running at the age of 9, and I just loved what I was doing and showing up every day. And my brother, he had the talent, but he didn't believe in going to practice. And so we had this foot race, you know, because he was telling his friend, you know, she goes, she wins all these different things, but I could still, you know, outrun her and all this. So we set up this match race and, yep, from the stop sign to the mailbox, I beat him and I told
smoked him.
Yeah, I said that's what practice would do. But, you know, I have to give my brother the upper hand, though, because he won the first gold medal in the family before I did. So
at what point in your life did you honestly say, like, this is something special, like, I'm going to take this seriously?
You know, I started running at the age of 9, and believe it or not, in my first race, I finished last. And I just said that, you know, if I can improve a half of an inch, if I'm jumping, or a tenth of a second at me, the work that I'm doing is paying off. And it wasn't until I was 14 when I saw the 76 Olympic Games on television. And I remember seeing Evelyn Ashford, you know, she wore her in cornrows. That's how I would wear my hair. And I just thought that, wow, you know, maybe one day, you know, I could go to the Olympics so I could be on television, not knowing if that was going to happen or not.
Wait, so the motivation was just to be popping. It was just like, I want to have my hair in cornrows and I want to be on TV. That was it.
Yes, you know, and it also, you know, at that time, they would put the university, they put UCLA. And I was like, that must be a great school for girls that want to run track, you know, not putting it all together. But that was my mindset, you know.
Listen, it's just the spark that it takes. And now the Jackie Joyner Kersey Foundation, which you started many years ago, and you're helping kids in East St. Louis. Talk about what track and field did for you long term in your life, right?
Yes.
You know, like you talk about showing up every day. You talk about practice. You know, this consistency over an extended period of time, I'm sure, you know, planting that seed with youth is very powerful.
Yeah, so having the Jackie Joyner Kersey Center, I grew up in a community center, and I worked with the librarian at that time to teach me how to check out books. I was a part of the Meals on Wheels program, working with seniors, but then also they had the recreation component of it, and that's how I got involved in athletics. But it wasn't until I went off to school in 81 and I ended up losing my mom unexpectedly, and I came back home, and I wanted to go to a place where people could pour love into me and get me out of that that emotion of just being sad. And I go to that center, and they had padlocks on the door, and I just started thinking, where do the young people go? And so throughout my journey and all of my efforts, it was always about trying to reopen that center or build my own center. But more importantly for me, was always to come back home. And so in everything that I had learned, I would always come back and share, you know, in the community of East St. Louis, and working with my high school coach and different programs that I have been involved in. And then eventually we opened the Jackie Joyner Kersey Center in 2000, but I had started my work back in 1988, because at the time I said I didn't need a building to help people, you know, so I would take my own sponsorship dollars and just put it into programs. And after I won double gold in Seoul, Korea, I chartered a plane and took 110 kids along with chaperones to the Macy's Day Parade, because I was on one of the floats, and I just wanted the young people in my community to see New York City, visit it, see, you know, and just be able to expose them, you know, and to know that there are opportunities, you know, beyond our existence in our own community. But how can we go and come back and still build a stronger community through our intellect or through our connectivity of different people, of sharing what's happening in the community of East St. Louis?
Amazing. Do you now, can we talk about money and sponsorships and gold medals and how athletes survive, you know, that are Olympic athletes, right? Because, you know, every year or every 4 years when Olympics come around, whether it's winter or summer, you hear these stories. You know, these are regular everyday people that we see working. They get sponsorships so they can work on their craft, but they, you know, still have to have regular jobs. I don't know, like track and field in America, USA track and field is one of those sports in the Olympics that feels like you guys just do that full time. Like the amount of money y'all get paid and the sponsorships, that's the job, correct?
Yes, in a sense it is. And but the sponsorship dollars doesn't equate to the work and the time and the commitment of one trying to become an Olympian. And so a lot of times most people are confused once they see someone excel at the Olympic level. But there is a very small percent where sponsorship dollars are, you know, geared towards all the athletes, you know, so that for myself, while I was competing, you know, I had to create opportunities or make those connections with different sponsors or different groups I was working with, you know, to have an opportunity to work with Adidas, you know, was very beneficial. That would allow me to be able to train at a high level, because without that sponsorship, it's hard, you know, and being a heptathlete and being on the track almost 8-9 hours, you know.
That's a full-time job.
It's a full-time job. And just know that, you know, everybody get hyped for the Olympic Games, but we are out there every day, every month, every year, just really trying to make it work. And then you will have some of your Olympic sponsors that provide opportunities or job opportunities that you can take advantage of. But still, when you're trying to train to be the best, your focus is really on your training, because it's not only about the physical, your physical ability, but your mental toughness, and then how you find that balance, you know, and not getting injured, you know, when things happen and mm-hmm. they just, you check you off. Okay, we go to the next one.
Right.
Now, the conversations about mental health have become so mainstream. And I'm sure I can't even imagine the amount of pressure you had, you know, growing up and people, you know, relying on you and your personal goals. What are your thoughts when you see athletes like Naomi Osaka who have prioritized themselves and decided to check out of certain, you know, games because she wants to put her mental health first?
You know, what Naomi was able to do is that it shed light on people really not listening or understanding or the importance of her self-care. You know, it wasn't even about trying to hit another tennis ball or go into a press event. It was really about what she needed to do to make sure that that Naomi was going to be okay. And to me, a lot of times people see us as the athletes and that we're invincible, but we go through things, and why not give us that space so we can continue to not just excel on the field, but off the field as well.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
How did you cope? What were some of your secrets that maybe a young person who is, whether it's track and field or any other athletic, you know, discipline, how did you balance, right? Because the 80s was crazy, right? Like, I mean, that was when the media hype and a lot of things were getting started. You know, you guys as USA track and field, I mean, it was you. It was Flojo. It was Carl Lewis too, right? It was Carl. Y'all was popping.
Yes. So back in the '80s and nineties, and just recent as you know, even with what's happening in 2020, you know, with COVID, that when you even talked about you struggling mentally, that was just taboo. People look at you like, oh, you weak or something's wrong, you know, and that was the furthest thing from the truth, you know. And so we use the sports like colleges, you know, that helped us to visualize and go through the things that you might be going through emotionally, being able to open up, being able to have conversation without being judged. And this was back in the 80s, you know, because my first Olympic Games, I recognized that I wasn't mentally tough. I missed the gold medal because I was so caught up in my leg being wrong and not focusing on the things that was going well for me, that I performed at a level that got me the silver medal. And nothing against the silver medal, but when you know you can be the best, you know, I had to work on changing my mindset and really believing what I would say is that I can turn a doubter into a believer as long as I believe. So truly in the 80s, it was, and you talk about pressure, the pressure, a lot of time when you in it, you don't even know you in a pressure situation. So you try to find that balance and you have your teammates, you have people that rally around you. But the most important thing is being able to open up and share. And, you know, don't let others, tell your story. You know what's going on, and don't be ashamed of it. A lot of times we are ashamed to just say, oh, I need help. Oh, I don't know this. Oh, I can't do this. And so my advice would be if you can open up and share, you know, and I look at the 80s, but now I look at 2021, or like the young people I work with, you know, I tell them, I know they communicate, they text. I say, no, I want to hear your voice. You know, I need you to pick up that phone. I need you to call. Don't sit back and second guess that, no, I don't want to hear from you. Let me tell you, I don't want to hear from you.
That's real. That's real. Do you, I mean, Flojo, that's your, that was your sister-in-law.
Yes.
And, you know, that was a tough loss. Now here we are. You guys, your family and her family, this documentary is happening, and Tiffany Haddish is, what we're hearing, is slated to play Flojo. Are you helping at all? Are you going to train Tiffany Haddish? You know what I'm saying? Like, is your brother going to train Tiff? Like, you know, the way he used to, because your brother used to train Flojo a little bit, right?
Correct. Yes. So my brother, you know, trained Flojo as well, as he had been working with Tiffany. And so they've been working out the ins and out. And so I don't really have any input in, even though I talk to my brother every day, you know, and I'm always reminding him, you know, intellectual property is everything. Okay. So, but I'm glad that they're able to hopefully pull this together and just share, you know, an amazing story on an incredible, now phenomenal, not an amazing athlete, but an amazing person, and being able to tell Florence Griffith Joyner as Flojo's story.
Now, I'm sure, you know, more than she talked to your brother, she talked to you about that hair and nails and them outfits. So I'm sure your brother going to call you, you know what I mean, to get them hair and the nails and the outfits right.
Well, you know what? Because Florence and I, we were teammates at UCLA.
Right.
And so I'm in, I would go visit my brother at Arkansas State. So I got this picture of Florence and myself, and I'm showing him the different girls on the team. And he pick out, he go, oh yeah, you know, I'm gonna marry her. And I was like, get out of here. You're not even her type, you know? And so when he came out to Los Angeles to train with us, you know, they would have their secret code names. It was crazy because
they had cute little pet names early, right?
Yes, because you know, in his eyes, I'm too nosy, so they had to talk around me. So you know, didn't want me to know. So
how was it at the time? I mean, Flojo came on the track to run those races. I mean, the outfits. Was, you know, her performance obviously measured up too. You couldn't wear those outfits and not be the best.
Right.
But it was controversial at the time, right? Like that was, you know, coming out in those, do they allow that now? Is that even allowed anymore?
Yeah, but you know what? We were able to design our own uniform. So Florence was always into the hair, the nails, you know, different outfits. And so I remember we said, okay, how can we be supportive? So we were running at the Mount Sac relays, and I never forget this. And we had to run on the mile relay, and I had to run the first leg. And at that time, you know, our uniforms, they didn't put the elastic real tight. So, you know, part of that uniform would creep up, you know, and it's like, oh my gosh, I got to get in the starting block. Florence, like, Jackie, don't worry about it. Just run, you know? And so doing our like Olympic trials, so you were able to wear your own uniform. It's once you make the Olympic Games that you have to wear the designated uniforms that's been already assigned to the U.S. Olympic team. But it wasn't so much, to me, Florence transcend our sport, brought people in who probably went ordinary watch our sport, but just talked about more than just the runner, but what's behind the woman, what's behind the runner. And I just love that part of it.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David O.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Now, you're going to be the first HB honoree where they're going to celebrate your legacy in sports and all the amazing work you've done through your foundation. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So this is really a great honor when you talk about Black excellence, and everything that I do and stand for is around excellence. And so even having the partnership with Adidas and the Jackie Joyner Kersee Foundation, it allows us to continue to tell those stories, because history is very important to me, and everything that we do, you know, in this community. You know, early on we talked about what were some of the things. So some of the things that may have sparked my interest or to give back. And so having my Winning in Life, the Jackie Joyner Kersee Winning in Life character and leadership curriculum, you know, which embodies everything that I have stood for and continue to stand for today, and how we're able to really invest in our young people and knowing that they too can be successful, and being able to celebrate this moment for me is really great, because a lot of times I always, you know, share with people is that why we don't celebrate people while they're here. You know, I go to so many funerals and all I hear, oh, I love, I get to say this, you know. So it is an opportunity to be able to celebrate myself, which is kind of, you know, what? I mean, it's just like the question about the greatness, you know. So I shout.
You never stop and appreciate how great you are. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Right. You know, and but do it. But always be respectful, because even my greatness that others see is because of people who believe in me when I didn't believe in myself, that made right. it all possible. Yes. And so I am so grateful, and I am reminded. And that's why I choose to be back here in the community of East St. Louis.
I think just the other day, there's a new 100-yard dash world record. Do you still keep watch on everything happening in track and field?
You know, I do. You know what? I talk to a lot of my friends and they be like, Jackie, how are you keeping up? I'm like, you know what? I just love seeing talent rise to the top. You know, I'm not one that just want to see the superstars. I like to see people develop and evolve, and not only evolve athletically, but how they evolve emotionally and how they come across, you know? So, and it's really great to just see, you know, some of the people raising the bar, and I can't
wait,
you know, get through these Olympic trials and then to the Olympic Games, you know, to just see the excitement.
Okay, so now how we gonna look? Jamaica got it. The ladies and the men in Jamaica, they've been having it the last few Olympics. Does USA have an answer?
Yeah, well, you know what? We got an answer, you know, but the answer got to be there on that day. You know?
You got to show up, baby. You got to show up.
Exactly.
Wait, let me ask you, how do you feel about the Tokyo Olympics? Do you feel they should go on with everything that's going on right now in the world?
You know what? That is really, really tough, because I believe in safety is first and foremost, you know, and
right.
and the well-being of everyone, and that, and I know how it's easy to talk about how hard the athletes have trained, but then how do you compare training and hopefully we're not putting our athletes in harm's way. And so I just really hope that, you know, that they're able to have a safe Olympic Games and keep everyone safe, not just the athletes, but the people who might want to come and watch.
Yeah, no, it's it seems like they have a solution. And with, you know, vaccinations and everything going on, it seems like they have this year figured out. When does Summer Olympics start? Next month, right? Or this month?
The end of July.
End of July.
It's the opening ceremonies. And so the track and field Olympic trials are in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks.
Are you headed out to Tokyo or no?
No, I'm not going to go over to Tokyo. No.
Are you going to the trials?
I am contemplating going to the trials. You know, my husband has several athletes that's going, and Allison Felix is an athlete of ours and loves.
Oh, she, Allison Felix, she's a, yeah,
make her fifth Olympic team, you know, much love, just a great human being, you know, and so I'm not 100%. I haven't traveled since last March, which on an airplane, you know, but it's, I don't know.
Yeah,
even stay safe. You prefer staying safe and staying out the way, it sounds like.
Yes, you know, and being in, try to send encouraging messages and let everyone know I am there, you know. Might not be there in the physical perspective, but spiritually I'm there. Spirit wise, I'm there.
Well, shout out to the USA track and field team. And thank you, Jackie Joyner Kersey, for joining us today.
You know, what a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Much appreciation.
Yes, it's been an honor. Thank you for everything you've contributed to just, you know, uplifting women and women athletes in track and field and everything. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Laura Styles got the 411 on the flash lights. Lights.
Are you ready for the flash light? Laura Styles gonna put us on.
All right, guys. You know, we've been talking about this. The late great Paul Mooney. We knew his memorial service was going to be huge, but you know, some of the comedy giants that are trying to make this big include David Letterman, Tiffany Haddish, Chris Tucker. His memorial service is slated to go down on June 23rd at the Roosevelt Hotel's ballroom in California. They're saying that Tiffany and actress Marla Gibbs, you know, they're confirming they're definitely attending to support. And Letterman, along with a lot of, you know, John Witherspoon Foundation and others, have contributed towards the cost of the memorial service. So it's like a whole family affair. Everybody's trying to pitch it and make sure it's done right. I've heard some celebrities like Eddie Murphy, they're even offering them to just turn in like recorded video messages, but they want as many greats to be present and people who loved Paul Mooney to just, you know, share their energy for that specific night. And that's your Flash and Lights report.
WQHT and WQHT HD1 New York.
Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Ebro, Laura Rosenberg. We back today. We got a guest today repping Queens, Assemblywoman Alicia Hyndman. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, Ebro. How are you?
I got the Queens part right.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Queens.
Now we got to get into this Juneteenth talk. It's going to be a lot of conversation, and rightfully so. And finally, nationwide, a lot of corporations leaning in and giving days off for Juneteenth. This is Assemblywoman. This is unprecedented. You know, in my 46 years and being a part of Juneteenth in the park, it was always like a, you know, it was a neighborhood vibe. It was, you know, people came, cook out, dance, you know, talk about the history of Juneteenth. It wasn't really taught in schools. It definitely wasn't recognized by state or city governments like that. Maybe depending on your school district or your teacher, maybe it was brought up more often or maybe at school. But Assemblywoman, you've made this and taken this to a higher level in our state of New York.
That's right. You're exactly right. It wasn't taught in schools unless you were raised by a Black liberationist or you had a teacher that really had the insight in history. Did you know this? So in the state of New York, when George Floyd was killed, it catapulted a lot of legislation we had in the state, but Juneteenth was not one of them. So it was a perfect time to intro the bill into our state legislature. And, you know, we had little problems with the governor at the time. He had announced it would be a holiday when I already had the bill in legislation form. So that catapulted him signing the bill into law that in New York State, it is now a recognized state holiday for all public employees in the city and throughout all 62 counties in the state of New York.
So,
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David O.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
This year, Juneteenth falls on a Saturday. So which day is the which day is the holiday? Which day will be observed? And B, how does it work?
So in New York,
for state employees.
Right. So for state employees, it works as like a floater, meaning that if a holiday is a specific day, like Christmas Day falls on a specific day, the 25th, Juneteenth falls on June 19th, that means that they will have state employees and city employees have it as what we call a floater, meaning they can use it or bank it anytime they wish to after the holiday takes place. So next year it'll be a Sunday, but the following year, Monday, it will be observed in 2023 as a state holiday. It is a state holiday, but employees have to use it and save it in their banked time.
And so that will mean state buildings are closed. State offices are closed.
Right. City, and so will it be the city of New York. City offices will be closed. Agencies will be closed on the official state holiday.
Correct. And what about any sort of like official celebrations happening on the actual day of?
So in Queens, we are going to have a Juneteenth festival, which is the entire borough. You know, I have a great committee from North Queens, South Queens, East Queens. All of the Black electeds are involved in making this a holiday. Now, everyone has celebrations throughout the city, and I would love them to continue, but we also have to educate our children. So there's no state official holiday there's no statewide celebrations. I'm sure those will start, just like we have MLK celebrations that take place on a state level. I'm sure this will begin and catapult celebrations statewide, where the state will be a catalyst to make sure that this happens. So in Queens, we have, you know, a celebration on June 19th in Roy Wilkins Park. We're calling it hashtag Juneteenth in Queens. It'd be a great event. And we want to make sure that we're cataloging all the events around the state, because we don't want people to look at this as just a day off. This is about our history. This is Black history. This is American history. And it's time that our schools and our children learn more about our contributions and significance of a day like Juneteenth in the state of New York.
I'm glad you're saying that. Oh, go ahead, Laura. Sorry. Go ahead.
Have there been conversations about making sure that our school systems acknowledge Juneteenth and include it as part of curriculum?
So this is what we have in the state of New York. We have we now have a Black regent, which means he sets the pace for the entire state when it comes to education. And he comes from Queens. So we want to make sure that they're in every facet that we can. In education, especially for our children, we know the importance of them learning by themselves. There are initiatives that take place in each county in the state of New York. But with this holiday, we hope the catalyst is that they make it mandatory that children learn about their history. Like Ebro said, where do you learn about Juneteenth? I learned about it in college at SUNY New Paltz because I was a Black history major. Never learned about it in my elementary or high school years.
Well, and you know, learning about things is a part of the Juneteenth story, because the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, I believe it was 1862.
63.
But slaves in Texas, and this is what Juneteenth is all about, did not learn that they were free until 2 years later.
Correct. Over, and you're talking about emancipation, and this is what's a misconception. The Emancipation Proclamation didn't free all the slaves. It only freed the slaves that were in the American Civil War. So there were thousands of slaves around the country who were still in bondage. And in Galveston, Texas, in 1865, as you said, over 20,000 Black people were freed, and they had to be made aware. So that's where Juneteenth comes from, because we have so many misconceptions of Black history and culture in this country. And that's why Juneteenth is so important.
The other piece I believe that's important, and I'm glad it's happening now with regard to Juneteenth, you brought up contributions of Black Americans to America and how that's it always seems like it's this clunky, cumbersome come to Jesus when it comes to, you know, incorporating the Black experience in the American experience. It's always separate. The thing about Juneteenth, which I'm going to enjoy watching over the years to come, is the fact that you cannot dodge talking about slavery when talking about Juneteenth. You cannot dodge talking about the crimes that America committed against humanity, not only financial crimes, but, you know, physical bondage, right? That they committed against Black Americans. And so, you know, there's been talk of people worrying that Juneteenth is going to become this corporatized, you know, capitalism holiday in years to come. And I'm one of the people who's like, I'd love to see it. Mm-hmm. I want to see the day where there's commercials on TV talking about Juneteenth and the freeing of the slaves in America and recognizing Black Americans and not only the freedom of physical bondage, but the freedom we still have yet to achieve in this society. So I welcome this day moving into state and local governments acknowledging it and corporations acknowledging it, because it starts to open up this dialogue a little bit more. And we thank you for that, Assemblywoman.
Thank you. It's important because if you think about the success of this country was on the backs of slaves, of people that were enslaved. This country would not be a superpower if it wasn't for free labor. For years. And if you think about, if you're not paying someone their worth, then how do you make that? You dehumanize them. And that's what slavery did. And the years after slavery still dehumanized because we weren't equal. It wasn't just, okay, you're a slave. You're not a slave today. You're free. No access to education, no access to resources, no access to homes. You still kept us in that mentality because you always wanted us to be less than. And that's what we're feeling, the psychological effects today. So I do welcome the day when everyone is embracing this, because I have to make sure that American history is our history. We are American history. And what we give to this country on a daily basis and still continue to do is why this holiday to me is so important. So I welcome when everyone celebrates it, just like how with MLK Day. You know, a lot of people didn't celebrate him while he was alive, but we celebrate him in his death and for his assassination and Malcolm X. So we have to make sure that this history is not something that we just celebrate once a year. Yes, we can celebrate the holiday, but the education of this is paramount, I think, for the liberation of our people moving forward.
I think the hashtag on Juneteenth should be thank you. I think all Americans should be hashtagging and thanking Black Americans. That's what needs to be happening. The hashtag is thank you. Hashtag Juneteenth in Queens. You know what I mean? That's like appropriate. That. I want to see it. I want to see some big thank yous out here.
Absolutely.
That's the least we're asking for right now. We ain't even got to this these Venmo and PayPal transfers that need to be start flying into these bank accounts for the victims' compensation fund that we need. We ain't got to that. But hashtag thank you would be nice. Matter of fact, Assemblywoman, you know how they do those like on Puerto Rican Day Parade or the big parades where in the middle of like the daily news, they have the fold out and people can like unfold the thing out of the and it comes in the newspaper and you put it up in the window. Well, how do we get one of those going where everybody all over the city, right? Everybody's got to put the Juneteenth thank you in their windows all over the city.
Those corporate sponsors that you talked about, that's important. That's where that
Yeah, let's from. Get that cracking. That's what that every year come around. We want thank you to Black Americans. That's what we want.
Every day. I think American history, to me, our children need to learn about who they are. And it would change the paradigm. It would be a huge paradigm shift in our communities. You know, June is here. Peace Month. And, you know, gun violence is an issue. But if our children learn about who they are and that they're important, that they're someone, that can change lives forever. And that's what, to me, Juneteenth is so paramount in making sure that we uplift this holiday moving forward. So I'm just excited about Juneteenth in Queens. I am excited. We're still looking for, you know, sponsors. You can contact my staff. They are doing the heavy lift. Safira and Tanisha are really making this happen.
Safira, what's going on?
I had to shout them out. They are really making it happen.
Yes. And,
I'm so excited for June 19th. Juneteenth, I'm so excited.
Well, Assemblywoman, thank you for your time today. We've been having this conversation. It was a pleasure to meet you. Just so you know, I've also been in contact with the mayor's office, and the lieutenant mayor about, you know, what they're doing citywide. So hopefully they've reached out to you as well. And I put some of this pressure on them over the last several months.
Thank you. Yeah, register to vote, everyone. Remember, the elections are coming up. Voting is very important in our communities. Thank you so much for having me, and get vaccinated.
There it is. Thank you, Assemblywoman, for your time today.
Meet you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, everyone. Keep up the good
Assemblywoman,
work.
Thank you, Assemblywoman Alicia Hyman. Hashtag Juneteenth in Queens. Go look it up. Roy Wilkins Park is going down June 19th. Join them out there.
Thank you.
Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Red Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.